right, y'all, get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. I'm one of your partners, Mr. David Coker, proprietor of Dave Mark Inc., marketing specialist, promoter, all around good guy number one. I like to say that because my partner, who I'm about to say and bring on, watch how he does this, folks. Tell me if you like it or not. Go ahead, Mr. Leonard Young.
Yep, this is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guide, DelawareBlack.com, Black media specialist, and all around good guy. Was that good, David?
Yeah, that was pretty good. You just forgot to say black man.
You said I forgot to say what?
Black man. You said black everything else. You might as well say black man too, you know?
Well, you know, some things don't need to be...
Okay.
Yeah.
Some things don't need to be said.
Right.
So how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. No complaints, you know. What do you say? I always have my thing on Friday. On Tuesdays, it's, you know, just trying to take over the world. That's it.
Okay.
What about you?
It's good. Made it to Tuesday. It's been interesting weekend, how the weather went from, you know, cool to this outrageously hot.
Right.
You know. Folks, I don't know if you know Leonard.
Cool.
If you know Leonard, and he, you know, you check Leonard out on Facebook, you see Leonard was out doing some angling over the weekend, you know, so some major fishing over the weekend, you know. I was like, look at my boy out there, you know, trying to catch some fish out there.
Yeah, you know, a little bit. We went to Walmart, got the $9.99 poles, and you know, it's real funny because you know how you go out and you try to get all your stuff together, because, you know, going fishing can, it's not a lot, but there are a lot of different parts. So, you know, we were there at Walmart, you know, we're trying to get our bait. We're trying to get the buoys. We're trying to get the sinkers, you know, all that. We got to the part, we didn't have any hooks. I had to walk up on somebody and ask if I could borrow two hooks. And then I was like, kids, if these lines snap, we're not going to get no more hooks.
Did the person look at you and say, you're out here fishing without hooks? Is that what they probably looked at you like?
Nah. I mean, you know, the guy was real nice. He was like, yeah, take, he opened up his thing. He had like 80 hooks. He's like, take as many as you need. I was like, sir, we only need two hooks. Like, we don't know, you know, we're not professionals out here.
Yeah. Was he catching fish? Did you notice?
I didn't see him catching fish, but the way his tackle box was set up.
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He should have been catching a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Did you use worm?
No. So we, at Walmart, they had these pre-packaged, it was kind of like air dried, chemically preserved fish, like little minnows. So, you know, we just put those on.
Okay, all right. So there you guys have it, the angler session by Mr. Leonard Young. Okay.
I don't know about all that.
So, but anyway, yeah, it was extremely hot this weekend, and I'm glad it cooled down a little bit, but it's supposed to be, you know, kind of rainy presence all week, you know, so, but it's supposed to be pretty decent weather wise so let's hope that continues this week. So, but here we are, another Tuesday, another News and Trends. And I understand we have a guest with us today.
Yep, that's what it, as I said last time with Tracy A, that's what it said on the flyer.
Well, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about our guest, and we'll bring our guest on. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this young lady. Leonard, why don't you tell us all about
it? Sure. So for our guest today, none other than Genevieve Motley Lloyd. She has 30 years in training and development with AstraZeneca and Siemens Healthcare, along with the last 3 years as a Republic Airlines flight attendant. You know, I got a lot of questions about that right there, because, you know, all the stories we'd be seeing. So there was a point where she slammed on the brakes of her life and said, basically, I must do what I love to do. And at the same time, she also wanted to help others nurture their creative side. She started an affirmation t-shirt and apparel business to empower men and women to use positive self-talk or affirmations as a way to heal from depression, anxiety, and overall negative thinking. When she was 19 years old, she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And there was a wonderful therapist who introduced her to affirmations as a way to heal her broken mind and spirit. She uses t-shirts to teach that there is a way to wear apparel that makes you feel good and can inspire others. And her business, her small business or her big business, is her dream job. So we would like to welcome to News and Trends, Genevieve Motley Lloyd.
Hey. Hello, everybody. Thank you.
Hello. and welcome. I'm excited to have you on today. Both Leonard and I both are. I want to thank you for coming on and hanging with us today. Of course, you know, we have a long history, and I'm so glad to be able to say that everything that Leonard just read and that bio and where you came from to where you are now, folks, you're going to hear her story and you're going to understand what affirmation can do today. Okay. So we're going to start out by just saying, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, we read your bio, but tell us from your words about yourself.
Yeah, so Dave is my my big brother. I have to call him my big brother. I always have called him that since I met him years ago at the Department of Labor. But a little bit about myself is I have about 30 years of training and development experience. My dad was a teacher. He taught students over at Wilmington High School how to drive. So a lot of people say, your dad taught me how to drive. Your dad taught me how to drive. Mr. Motley was my driver's ed teacher. And I would say, oh, okay, I understand. That's cool. I'm glad you're still driving. So that's kind of how, you know, teaching kind of got in my blood, right? Being in learning and development and training and development was because of my dad. He was always presenting somewhere, one way or another. He was always trying to inspire people. And he inspired a lot of his children too, because there's nine of us, there's nine girls in our family. And
Nine girls,
Jesus. No boys. My dad kept trying to get a boy. So that's why he had the nine girls.
I didn't know it was nine girls. I knew it was quite a few of you guys, but I didn't think it was all girls.
Yeah. Wow,
Jesus. And how many bathrooms were there? Because I already see a lot of fights up in the house.
There was only two.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
So it was probably survival of the strongest up in there.
Exactly. So we all had really big mouths because we always wanted to be heard because there were so many of us. So we always say, oh, if you meet any of the Motley girls, we always have a real big mouth because we want to be heard, because we were stair step children. And the thing about it is that our parents didn't know which one they were calling. They would say, which one are you, number three, number four, number five? So it was just a lot of us. It really was. But and my father really inspired me to, you know, learn more about how to train adults. And so early in my career, I started working with Delaware State College, the International Reading Association. And then later I went over to AstraZeneca to work in national sales simulations as the simulations coordinator. And so my job was really to create training structure for AstraZeneca and their pharmaceutical sales reps. But then I left that career and I went into flight attending. I decided, okay, I want to do something totally different. And I've been doing flight attending for the last 3 years. And that was just a childhood dream that I just said, okay, when I was 19, I wanted to be a flight attendant, but my dad said, no, 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 you're not going to be a flight attendant. That is not what young girls do. They don't go gallivanting all over the United States. You have to get your, yes, gallivanting. you have to get your education, and you have to stay close to your parents and your family, so you won't be able to do that. So when I was, I think it was, I was either 52 or 53, I decided I'm going to be a flight attendant. So I went to flight attendant school, and it was the hardest thing I ever did. It was the worst 9 weeks of my whole entire life. Wow. It is very, it's very strenuous. You have to get 100% accuracy on every test. You cannot miss one question or you'll be out. And you have to learn all of the components of the airplane, just as much as a pilot would know or a first officer would know. And you have to also know where all the safety equipment is, and you have to know how to get the people off the airplane and make sure that they get to safety. So each year they certify you again to be a flight attendant. So just because you're a flight attendant, you know, 3 weeks ago doesn't mean that you're going to be a flight attendant if you don't pass all your safety training. So pretty.
Genevieve, can I ask a quick question? So I remember hearing maybe a couple weeks to a couple months ago, there was a shortage of flight attendants. So one, they were being overworked, but they were like maybe doubling in pay too, because they needed them so bad. Is that true?
Yes. So right now, I would say every legacy partner, meaning Delta, United, American, is hiring for flight attendants because they do not have any flight attendants. And flight attendants can only work 14 hours a day. So if they go over that, then they time out. And so that's why we're having so many delays in the airline industry right now. And then there are overworked pilots and overworked first officers. There's a shortage of them as well. But then they're getting what's called red pay or yellow pay. And that is triple time or even four times the amount. Damn. To work flight. Yeah, to work flights where other flight attendants have canceled.
Gotcha. Wow. Now Dave doesn't like to fly, so he can't take advantage. Do you have any extra buddy passes? are there any extra buddy passes? Asking for a friend.
No.
Right. The buddy pass situation, right?
So, you know, so. But I will say now, with everything that you said so far, though,
right?
We can see a little path that's going somewhere here.
Yes. So that kind of ends me. Yes, I'm going to take you home now. Yes. Yeah, so I did flight attending for a while and just kind of got to understand what it was all about. I found out that I did not like it. So that's when I pumped my brakes and I said, you know what? I really have to do what I really love. And what is something that I really love? And I love to create and design, do graphic design. And I started learning a lot about Adobe Illustrator and Canva. And I started to create t-shirts. And then I said, well, you know what? I'm going to start a t-shirt business, but I'm going to put a twist on it, and that I am going to start a business based on what has changed my entire life. And it is really affirmations and positive self-talk and eating good foods and really taking a look at myself and learning from my mistakes has really helped me to kind of revamp my life.
Okay. All right. So the affirmations, what were some of the ones that started you on your way?
Yes. So when I first got introduced to affirmations, I was about 21 years old, and I was sitting at the Rockford Center in Newark, Delaware. And a therapist that I met there named Walter, he said, Genevieve, I want you to take this sticky note and write down three things that you like about yourself. And I said, Walter, and I had tears in my eyes. I said, I can't come up with one. I don't like myself. I hate myself. I don't find anything good about me. Matter of fact, I could tell you all the bad things about myself. So he took the sticky note back from me. And he wrote down, Genevieve has a beautiful smile. And I looked at it, I was like, who's he talking about? You know, what do you mean? He was just like, I'm on the outside looking in and I can see you have a beautiful smile. And then he put that one on my left shoulder with the sticky note. And then he wrote another sticky note and he says, Genevieve is a good listener. And then he put that one on the other shoulder. And I was just like, how did, I mean, you've only known me for like 2 days. Like, why are you saying these things? And so he was like, this is how it works. This is how affirmations work. It is positive things that other people see that you may not know. But if you keep reaffirming it, then your mind will start to believe it. Your mind will accept it as reality. And so that's kind of how it started. And then I started to write my very first affirmation. And that was that I am important. I am someone. And when I started to write that, I just broke down in tears. And then he said, say it three times for me. I am important. I am someone. And when I said that, I had never heard myself say those words before. I never gave myself, I never said that I was worth anything, that to anyone, even to my parents or to my loved ones. But mostly to myself, I did not think that I was worth anything. But by affirming that I was, it helped me to believe that I was an important person and that I had something to offer the world.
Oh, okay.
That's nice. Yeah. And how did it feel to sell your first t-shirt that had an affirmation on it? Like, was that kind of like, you know how like a lot of business owners, when they get their first dollar, they kind of put the dollar up on the wall? You know, how was it to sell that first t-shirt with an affirmation on it that you created?
Wow, that was another tearful moment, because I sold it to my sister, who is she's a mega church leader in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her name is Lisa Perkins, shout out to her. But she bought one of my shirts that said, promise the crown of life. Promise the crown of life. And it's actually a picture where God's hands are coming from heaven and they're putting a crown on a beautiful woman. Okay. And she said to me, Genevieve, the reason I bought this shirt from you is because this is what mom and dad used to always teach us, that if we endure to the end, that God will promise us life. That is all that he has promised us. We may not have riches, we may not have fame or fortune, but we will have life. And when she said that, tears just started to stream. And I was like, thank you, sis. She was like, no, but I bought it because I like it, because it's going to be really nice when I meet with all of the, you know, the church ladies on Sunday. And they're going to ask me about my t-shirt. And I'm going to say, my sister created this and she has an affirmation company. So that was really spectacular. But also from a person who wasn't my relative, they bought a t-shirt that said, I am enough. And that goes back to my original affirmation that I am important. I have purpose. I have self-worth. And that was just enormous. And I mean, the business is very new, but a lot of people are really getting to understand what affirmation apparel is.
Okay. Well, they're going to know a little bit more after they see this show. And me and Leonard, start pushing your product, because I really believe if I didn't know you personally myself, you know, I wouldn't personally get everything as far as the affirmation is concerned, but I've seen it. I know what you're going through. And with that being said, I just thought about something I wanted to ask you. The world is a crazy place right now.
Yes. Okay.
So to have a business like this is really a very good thing to have because of the state of the world that we're in. Leonard and I get on here every week and we have at least one story that's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? That has to do with the state of the world, the mindset that people are in, whatever the case may be. So off the top of your head, I'm going to challenge you on something. Okay. If you had to put together three t-shirts for the world today, what would they say on?
Well, I just created one just recently, and it was a faith-based affirmation based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But basically, it basically says that I am because God is. It's very like simple that. Statement, right? Very simple statement. But what it means, or what that scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about, is how that God wants to set things straight with mankind. And he has always been here from generations to generations, right? He's been here. But the thing is that it's not until people get in trouble that they go running for God, right?
Yeah.
But it's usually, and that's usually how it happens. But what that call is for you to come to him before all of that, to build your relationship with him now, when things may be relatively good, right, for you. And I did that affirmation because I really felt that, and that when I was reading the scripture, I kind of understood what God was asking me to do. And then a second affirmation that I created was, it's just called Look for Good. And it starts out, it says, look for good. And then it says, to move towards good, feel good, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people are saying, oh, I don't know what's going on since COVID. Everybody's mean, everybody's nasty. But no, there's still a lot of good. There's still a lot of good. And there's a lot of good that you can work towards others, right?
Yes.
So that's why it's important for not only look for good and to do good, but then that'll help you to feel good. And if you keep telling yourself that, your mind will say, hey, this is not a dream. This is actually reality. I feel good. Even though a lot of us have lost a lot. We have lost family. We have lost friends, jobs, homes, cars, a lot of financial things. But when we try to mend the synapses of the mind through neuroplasticity, which we'll probably talk about later, which is the science behind affirmations, it really helps us. The mind just says, I'm going to take over. I'm in the driving seat, and I'm going to take over and mend those sad feelings that you have. And you can mend them with positive thoughts, but you have to reaffirm those thoughts over and over again. So I'm not saying that you lie to yourself, and you don't say things that are, you know, unbelievable, like I'm a millionaire or I'm going to win the lottery tomorrow. You know, you're not saying those things.
Hold on, Genevieve, because, you know, Dave and I talk about the millionaire affirmations all the time.
It may not be tomorrow, but, you know, look, as soon as it happens, we're going to have you design a shirt. We affirm that we're millionaires.
We're millionaires, right.
Yeah,
and so the third shirt, Dave, the third shirt, before I forget it, is a shirt that's on my website. And it just says something very simple. It says, goal, G-O-A-L, digger. I'm a goal digger.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, instead of gold, right? Okay. So, it's just how important it is for us to set goals, and affirmations are a way to reiterate and fortify those goals that you set for yourself.
Real quick, Genevieve, for people who may not be around at the end of the show or popping in and out, real quick, what is your website?
Yes, it's www.tshirtsthatteach.com.
Okay. One thing I'd like to say real quick about affirmations, I definitely believe they work. And when I really kind of noticed they work and I felt they were beneficial to me, or when I first noticed, was really through sports. I grew up swimming, but you know, through swimming, they always told us to do a lot of visualization that we could do outside the pool, and also affirmations. So like there were times we wanted to it was almost like visualization along with affirmations, but you know, we used to do a lot of that.
Yeah, it does work. That's true.
And I wanted to add now, before we get into our stories and everything, and one of the biggest and most popular affirmation that's out there and trending right now is one that came through a song that a very popular artist recently did, Miss Mary J. Blige. And she did that song, Good Morning Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't, you know the song, right? Everybody yes. knows the song. And that whole song is about affirmation, about who you are. Not so much about how pretty you are and then all this is who you think you are and what you accept yourself to be. Because if you don't find yourself to be this person that, you know, you say good morning gorgeous about, because you have to come to a point in your life to be able to realize your self-worth and what you look like. You can't worry about what you look like to other people, because, or how you feel to other people. It's all about what you feel and what you think about yourself. And that song is a great song for people who are struggling with themselves and where they've been, where they are now, those type of things. So that's a great affirmation that everybody's been really getting into. And it's not a day that goes by that I do not hear Good Morning Gorgeous. You know, so,
it's a great song.
Yeah,
it's a great song. But Dave, I was telling you earlier how important it is to write your own affirmations every day, right? Yeah. So one of the things is when you're writing them, you want to speak in the present tense. So it's always I am, I will, right? I promise to.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing, it has to be believable. The third thing, it has to be actionable. Okay. So when you say actionable, that means that your affirmation is going to be about something that you can move on right away, that it could be something that is not days or months off, but something you can do in this moment. And that's how real affirmations work. So if there's something that you're working on and you say, you know, I really just want to be a better person, that's too broad. You see what I'm saying? You have to be specific, and then you have to think about what is the action, and then what is the realistic goal at the end when you're writing those affirmations. And there are also affirmations that are pointed just towards African-Americans, African-American women, believing that we are beautiful, that we are melanated in a beautiful way. That our skin is not ugly, or our bulges or our curves are not too big, or our lips aren't too thick, or whatever. Those affirmations we have to say over and over, because the world has made us think that, you know, maybe we're not beautiful, like you were saying that Hello Gorgeous song talks about. So that's why affirmations for the African American community are so important, because of the long history that we've had of women in general not feeling good about themselves and not feeling good about their bodies. But we have to learn to love it and to be happy and rejoiceful, and to understand our bodies being different from other women. And I often say that when I do my affirmations in the mirror, it helps to really pinpoint, like, for me not to forget who I'm talking about, to look at myself and be happy with who I see. And that's why it's important to do affirmations also in front of a mirror.
Right. Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, folks, you're listening to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. You heard from our sponsor.
our first sponsor at that, right?
Yeah, our first sponsor. You know, so look, repeat your website one more time.
It's www.tshirtsthatteach.com.
That's right. Y'all heard that, right? So make sure that you take a visit to that site. We'll be posting it on our page and everything as well. So we can, so you can get your affirmation sheet, and you heard her, she can create them on the spot as well for you, you know, so, you know, cause you're going to see Leonard walking around with a shirt that says, "I am David Coker's best friend and I love him." That's what it's going to say on his shirt. So when you see that, then you know that he has affirmed and he believes in this message. Okay. So everybody look for Leonard with that shirt on. Okay.
So I was doing something on my computer. I actually hit the mute. So I'm going to be walking around with the shirt saying what?
Don't worry. The people know what I said. Don't worry. You ain't got to hear it. Don't worry. When you get the shirt, you'll be walking around in it. Okay. All right. Just know that you love David Coker. Okay. That's all I got to say.
Oh my goodness.
All right. So what we're going to do now is move into our subjects for today. We got a couple stories we want to talk about. We got Miss Genevieve, who's going to hang out with us and give her input on some of this stuff that we're going to be talking about, staying in line with what's going on, what the program's about, and what's going on out there today. So, Leonard, why don't you start with our first story?
Sure. So the first thing that we're going to talk about today, I'm sure everybody probably heard about it. So over the weekend, it was spotted that at Walmart, someone found a Great Value, which is Walmart's brand of ice cream, that was commemorating Juneteenth. So it's actually called Celebration Edition Juneteenth Ice Cream. And, you know, of course, my guest here, y'all can see what it looks like. If not, you can just type that into Google and you can see what the container of ice cream looked like. But a lot of people were very upset about it. They were mocking it, basically saying that. So some people were saying things like, OK, you know, Walmart is making money off of Juneteenth. And then some people were just saying it was kind of tasteless, tacky. Some comments some social media users were using were saying that Walmart clearly did not have any people of color around the table when they were, you know, coming out with the ice cream. So long and short, just getting a lot of backlash, and they did eventually pull it from the stores. Dave, did you get a chance to see what the ice cream container looked like? It was very vivid and black, green, and red, and some yellow.
Yeah, and you see the peace sign down there, the black hand with the peace sign, and you know they got a few different colors there of people, you know, on the thing. But see, that's the problem with what's happened with the Juneteenth celebration, because ever since they made, you know, a couple years ago when it came to, all of a sudden it became such an important event, you know, for not us but the other folk. You know, where they, now it's a national holiday, you know, it's this, it's that, all these big celebrations, and it's all about money. Everybody's making money off of this holiday all of a sudden. It's becoming another Christmas, really, if you think about it, you know, where people are just using it to make money. All of a sudden you're going to see, and I'm not talking about Black people, but I'm talking about the people who never knew what it was. You know, a lot of us were not taught about Juneteenth in school. So it was something that lay dormant and out of sight for a long time. And then, of course, when all the stuff started happening a few years ago, when all the injustices and all the stuff and all these statues started disappearing because they realized that these people were not who we thought they were, that type of thing. And, you know, and, you know, everybody started talking about reparations and all of this stuff. All of a sudden, now everybody said, oh, Juneteenth is really a good thing. And we need to do this and we need to do that. And all of a sudden, look, I never forget they gave us off when they were talking about making it a federal holiday.
Talking about last
year. This was 2 years ago.
Was it two years ago?
Yeah, okay. 2 years ago. It started, we had our first Juneteenth off. We never had it off before. But Juneteenth was on a Thursday that year. Wednesday, they told us we were going to be off Thursday. So it was like something that happened overnight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it wasn't something that was planned. And then they said right after that, that they were going to put it on the calendar. So it was going to be a regular day off for us. But that didn't happen last year, but they gave it to us off. But now it is on our calendar. So this was all about making money. What do you think, Genevieve? I know
red velvet and chocolate something. I was like, what?
So it's red velvet and cheesecake flavored ice cream. And Dave, I can't lie. It sounds all right.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go out there and purchase it, Leonard. Let us know how it tastes, okay?
Well, no, Walmart pulled it from all of their stores, so you can't buy it.
You better believe, I bet you can find that ice cream somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dave and Genevieve, I bet there's some black people huddled around.
Yeah.
Some cart with, like, all this ice cream kind of...
Look, somebody got it in the back of their truck selling it. Hey, I got that Juneteenth ice cream. You know what I'm saying?
Lord have mercy.
Look, go down to Elton. I bet you that Walmart down there probably still got it in there.
Oh, heavens.
Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I think you did, Dave.
But it's interesting because they got the flavors together. I understand what they were trying to do, but you know, certain people can't do stuff like this. You know what I mean? It's got to come from someplace else, and it's got to come from the originators. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you can't be a big conglomerate ran by white people and say, this is what we're going to do. You know, now I can't even think of anybody that we can say would do something like that on our side.
Well,
right?
Explain what you
black,
mean.
As far as black, you know, who's big enough on our black people that can do something like that?
Ice cream?
Yeah.
So one good thing that I did for you that came out of it is, so apparently there's one or two black owned ice cream companies, and some of these are in stores in different areas. And when this came out, a lot of people were like, oh, don't buy this, buy this. So one of them is called So Delicious, I think. And it's a black-owned ice cream. It's in a couple of venues. So I've been seeing that. But
what I'm saying. We can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're not going to get the, you know, we're not, you know, or that So Delicious is not going to be in Walmart. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, now they might... Hey, well, we said Walmart got some redeeming to do. What do you say, Genevieve?
Since Walmart missed the mark with this Juneteenth ice cream, I was just thinking something that Walmart could have done kind of in line with what you were just talking about. They could have just had an aisle where it was just products that were, you know, that black business owners, you know,
I agree with that.
Make, because a lot of us don't know what those products are.
Right.
And that is the way that we honor, you know, Juneteenth and Black history. That is the way that we honor to see how Black Americans have prospered despite our start. That our start is just not slavery, right? We're more than just that story. And I think that Walmart could have said, you know, hey, we're going to give 20% off if you buy, you know, Black products over this, you know, next two days or whatever. I mean, they could have done a million things, but instead they decided to do this.
Right. And, you know, well, I always hear that Target has like a black owned section for like hair care and, you know, that stuff. So, I mean, to be honest, and you know what, it's probably not too late. I bet you, well, I don't know what quality control they have to do, but I bet you if they put it out there that they were going to highlight black products, people would be flooding them.
Yeah, well, definitely.
I wonder how hard it is to make a phone call and find out and just say, hey, look, I have this business and we're doing this stuff for Juneteenth. Would you mind putting, you know, maybe co-signing or something like that? Would you mind putting it in your stores, you know, and designate an area for it while the celebration is going on, you know? I mean, maybe, you know, a company like Affirmation T-shirts or something like that, you know?
Yeah, you right, know? Exactly.
Yeah. There you
also,
go.
I was thinking that Walmart could have sponsored the pageant, right? The Juneteenth pageant. And that helps so many young girls, right? With the getting money to go to school. It would be more than, you know, the $2,000 or $3,000 that they get towards that effort. They could have gotten $50,000, $200,000, you know, to help with their education. So that's the way that Walmart needs to help. The pageant has gone on for years. I mean, I remember being involved in the Delaware Juneteenth Association's pageant, and that was over 10 years ago. So that's what I'm saying. This is something that they could have done a little better research.
Right. And, you know, on top of that, I feel like you could have done stuff for Chinese New Year. You could have done stuff for Cinco de Mayo. But, you know, when it comes to doing stuff for Black people, you know, like we're a little more critical. We speak out a little bit more about stuff. So I'm actually, you know what? I cannot imagine them doing this without some Black people on the panel, you know, or at the table. Cause I mean, this was pretty bold to just, you know, if there were a bunch of white guys, a bunch of white execs up around the table doing this.
Yeah. Like, but that just tells you it's all about money and it's acceptable because they figured, you know, they're still the number one, you know, department store, you know, whatever, you know, in the world, they're still number one. Mm-hmm. And they figured they can get away with something like this, you know? But I guess that'd be a story that we will keep an eye on and see if we see anybody walking down the street on Juneteenth eating some of that ice cream. You know, yeah. or the guy selling it out the truck on or doing the parade or something, you know. So
right, you know. And Dave, I want to give a quick shout out too, because I saw some Delaware people talking about there's a Black owned ice cream place in Middletown called Pop-In. So yeah. And you know, and I remember I went there with my daughter one time because she saw it on TikTok. She didn't know it was Black owned. And they have a lot of kind of like fancy, like ice cream bars and, you know, kind of like fancy ice cream, but affordable, but, you know, fancy. So I just want to give a shout out because they are Black owned in Middletown, Delaware.
Okay. So when we going down, when we going to take a ride?
Well, I mean, we might have to go after that fresh fry, you know, just ride on down for dessert.
Okay. All right. So, moving on to our next story. You know, this story really, you know, now I haven't had small kids in a long time, but when I heard this story, it just...
Dave, I'm about to say something. You left yourself wide open for that one, but...
Remember the t-shirt that you're going to be wearing, you know, about...
No, I don't remember because my mic was on, so I didn't hear what it was.
Okay, but the world, the other world, they heard it. So don't worry, I'll make sure it happens. So have you ever thought in your lifetime that there's a possibility that we could ever run out or have a shortage of baby formula? That's just totally unimaginable to me, that something that's such a... Well, no. Okay, I take that back. Because we did, well, remember, you couldn't get toilet paper. You couldn't get paper towels a couple of years ago. Stuff that we considered to be staples, we've run out of because of the pandemic. But this thing with this baby formula, for those of you that have not been under a rock lately, apparently there's a shortage of baby formula. I feel bad for those who have small children that are still feeding their children with formula. But there is definitely a shortage where you go to the store and there's none on the shelf, which I never thought in my life that I would ever see anything like that. Now, apparently, we have one major company up in Michigan that makes most of the formula. And apparently what happened was they had a situation where some of the formula, I think it was some of the formula had gotten contaminated, and there were four infants that got sick from the formula that had been made there. Two of the infants ended up dying. So they, of course, you know, they came in, they shut down the place. They found all kinds of violations, that it wasn't necessarily the sanitary, you know, the place wasn't up to code and whatever. And they shut down the plant. When they shut down the plant, that shut down the production of things like Similac and some of the other formulas, you know, that are out there. And this place was the major place that was making it, okay, in the United States. Now, of course, it's places outside the United States, but the United States, this place was making a bulk, the bulk of it for the United States. Now we have this big shortage because this place is shut down and they're not going to open it back up until everything gets back up to code. So the Biden had to make a deal with the Germans to bring it. I think they said it was what? How much was it? $20 million they worked a deal or something with the Germans to bring in all of these containers of product here to the United States so we can get it distributed across the United States to the different places that we need to. But it's not going to cover all the need. So you're going to have people, because when you have this type of situation, this is when people start robbing places, stealing, you know, pulling out guns and, you know, that type of stuff when there's shortages or whatever the case may be. What do you guys think about that?
I think, well, why is there such a limited amount of suppliers? I mean, this is food. This is, we're not talking about diapers or, you know, something optional. I mean, we could go back to, you know, just using cloth as for diapers, but what I'm saying, this is food. So I'm like, what was the thinking behind just kind of putting their eggs in one basket, and you know, per se?
I don't know. I thought it was really surprising when I read the story too, because I know with Biden broke the deal that Biden brokered to have the formula sent from Germany, they're sending over 75,000 pounds of formula to us. That's amazing to me. 75,000 pounds. So how could we not be prepared for something like this? And it just seems like to me, this type of thing, you know, they would have plants all over the United States for this type of stuff.
Right.
I think they said, you know, and of course, babies, we're at a record pace for babies being born these days, believe it or not. So a lot of women do not want to breastfeed. Okay. Now, back in the day, you know, when all of us were born, well, maybe not Leonard, because Leonard's younger than us. But I know you and like your older siblings, you know, we were not raised on formula. Mm-mm. You were raised on like carnation milk and that kind of stuff, you know, in our infant period. Then, you know, then when Leonard came along,
that's Dave, is that the bread and butter you're talking about?
Did you have formula as a kid, Leonard?
Dave, I don't know. I have no
idea. You don't know?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Dave, that was like 30 years ago.
Oh, 30 years ago, okay, all right, but I'm just saying we were not raised on that, so it became a thing, you know. I think that really became a thing like during the 70s and the 80s, really, somewhere around there. Yeah, you probably had it, Leonard. So I'm just saying, but now, you know, everybody's panicking because of course they don't know what to do. And with all the stuff that's going on with the obesity and all of that kind of stuff that's going on with the stuff that we're giving, because if they, I saw an interview on the news the other day, the mother was talking about her child was like 7 or 8 months old and was still doing the formula and so forth. And she said, well, since I can't get the formula, she said she went to 4 stores and couldn't find any formula. Okay.
Wow.
So, and she went to 2 states in those, four stores, yeah. 2 different states she went to. So, and she couldn't find the formula. And so she said, well, I guess I'm going to have to just go ahead and start giving them real people food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the obesity starts, because they're eating, that child may be eating food that they shouldn't be eating at this particular time. Or, you know, of course, the food, if they start giving the food that we eat, then, you know, there's more stuff in that food than it's in the formula, you know, and that type of stuff, or the baby food. Because a lot of kids skip, you know, a lot of kids nowadays don't necessarily go to the baby food. They drink that formula for as long as they can, and then they go to regular milk and that type of stuff. So, but it's, you know, I just find it really amazing that we have this situation going on and that we're not more prepared for these type of things.
Yeah. And Dave, to comment on real quick, you know, I also think it's weird, you know, if we just look at how everything's happening. So during the pandemic, I would assume that more babies are being born because more people are being home.
Right.
On one side, we just recently came up with all these abortion laws on the other side. And now we have a baby formula shortage. And it's just, you know, it's just crazy how everything's.
Wait, you know, hold on. Is that a conspiracy theory, Leonard?
I mean, I don't know.
Wait,
think
about it. You just lined everything up just then.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a conspiracy theory right there.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just weird how everything is happening. And you're right. Like, why is there a baby food shortage? Like, kind of like Genevieve said. Like, okay, what? We only have like one main manufacturer. Like,
yeah, I mean, that makes no sense. That makes no sense, right?
Yeah, you like know, you go to Walmart, you walk down the cereal aisle, 1 million different types of cereal. You go to Save a Lot, you see another million that ain't even in Walmart. Like, yeah. You know, so I'm like,
exactly. Well,
so hold on. You know, if the three of us go in business, we know we need to go in the baby formula business. one company go down, and you know, there's a national. We're flying it in from Germany. Like, we can't even get it from Mexico or Canada.
Pounds.
Like, we can't even get it from Canada.
Pounds of it. I mean, that's
why
crazy.
Can't we get it from Canada, Dave? Like, Canada, oh,
but then, Canada. But then when it gets here, when it gets here, Dave, how expensive is it going to be?
Right.
Oh.
So let's say we get it. I mean, are people going to be able to afford it, or is it just going to put us right back to stage one where people say, I cannot afford this. I cannot. I'm going to just give my child whatever I have,
Like, I'd be like gas. People ain't, like those are going to be two things we just can't afford.
And
no.
Let's hope the trucks don't get hijacked. That's a whole business right there.
Bootleg baby formula.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm holding it for ransom. Anybody, look, I got that formula. Dropped $2 million in a trash can in a plastic bag. I got
right.
You know, so no, it's crazy. Every week, right, Leonard, we read something that we just find unbelievable, don't we?
Right.
Every week, right? So, but anyway, that. You know, so guys, if you're hoarding any formula, you can make money right about now. I'm just letting you know, okay? Tell that kid, hey, mama got to make some money, okay? All right, so moving on to our next story.
Yep, so the next story is, and this is another story we hear probably too much now, but, you know, I guess in a good way, you know, thankful for technology. Police, or maybe not police, they're organizations that are able to fight for people's rights who are jailed and end up being wrongfully convicted. So for this story here, there was a guy out of New York who in 1996, he was convicted of a murder. He had been in jail from 1996 till, I think the article said about maybe a year to 2 years ago, where he's been on supervised, you know, work release, home containment. Just recently, he was granted wrongfully convicted status in the state of New York. Or New York City paid him $7 million, from which I heard he had to pay taxes on it as well. But, you know, it's just crazy that, you know, these wrongfully convicted people, you know, so 1996 to now, probably about 25, 26 years, majority of that time he spent in jail. So he missed births, deaths, friendships, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, he gets $7 million, which a lot of people are saying is not enough for all the experiences that he missed and all the trauma that he probably experienced in jail. So, you know, I just think that's so crazy. And Dave, you know, we've done a couple of these articles about these people getting money. But, you know, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, is there an amount that makes it fair or equitable? What you think?
Ooh. That's a good question. As you were talking, I kept reading this line from, you know, New York to pay $7 million to Grant Williams, wrongfully convicted in 1996. And I keep stopping at that $7 million. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then I look at the 96. So 1996 was how many years ago?
About 26 years ago.
No? Yeah, 26 years ago. Okay. 26. You just said he's missed out on a lot of things, not to talk about what he had to go through on the inside. All this time saying, I didn't do anything wrong. Now, this could have been one of those situations like most of them are, where the person is forced to admit something that they didn't do. Okay. So, $7 million. I'm sorry. I need more.
All right. So how much you need? 25 years in jail.
Give me $25 million.
Okay.
I want $1 million for every year I was in jail. $26 million.
He's just forever changed, though. Think about that, right? He's forever changed. And right. He'll never get those years back. He'll never be able to develop relationships with people that are gone now, right? Maybe he's lost people. That time is gone. And think about think about all the money that he could have made. If he had a business that he established, he could have been anything. He could have been a doctor, a lawyer, king, whatever. I mean, all of that was just taken. So, I mean, when you think about it, there's no amount of money that they could give me to give me those precious moments of my life back. I don't care how much money they gave me.
That's true. But it would help me if it was $26
million. Yeah. But, you know, Dave, but think about this. Think about being in jail for 26 years, getting out, you get your $26 million. Are you going to know what to do with it? Because, you know, like we always hear about people winning the lottery and like squandering it in like 1 year, 2 years. You've been in jail. So you, unless you've been like, I mean, not to sound funny, but like really managing whatever, you know, your money that you made in there, if anything, you know, when you come out, you're going to have all these people wanting your money. You done missed out on 26 years of like information technology, you know, all that. I don't know.
Hopefully he got some type of education, maybe skill while he was in jail. And maybe he can come out and put that to use in some type of way, or maybe be able to take that money and invest it in some type of business that would be self-serving for him and, you know, hopefully he'll be able to use it to help other people so forth. Of course, you know, yeah, when you get money, you everybody comes calling, you know.
Right.
You know, anytime you get money, I know I was reading the story about a young athlete that just got signed his first NIL contract, and he got like $25 million for this NIL contract. The name, you know what the NIL thing is now, right? The name and license, likeness thing that they're doing in college right now. Image, name, image, and likeness.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it.
And so he got all this money. And he said people that he ain't seen since he was like 2 years old start showing up at his house. Hey, man, I've been trying to find you, man. I'm so glad I ran into you. You know, he's like, yo, hey, you know, I ain't seen you since we were kids. What's up? But soon people, yeah, you're right. Soon people know you got money. That's what happens. So, but hopefully he has some good people around him. Right. Maybe the lawyer. Well, I don't know. They're on the system, you know, but maybe the lawyer or the people that helped him get out would be able to steer him in the right direction with the money he did get. You know, but, you know, that's tough to have to step back into life after feeling bitter all this time, because I'm sure he was bitter about, you know, everything, every year that he was there. But, you know, I guess hopefully we don't hear about this guy in a negative way. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but everyone, you are listening to News and Trends with Dave and Len. We have our special guest, Ms. Genevieve Motley, on with us, and Lloyd. I'm sorry, I had to say the last name there. I don't want to get shot down, get kicked in my knee, get pushed off a plane if I happen to get on a plane with her. We want to thank her for being on with us today, and we just want everyone to, if you have anything that you've heard today that inspired you from the words of our guest, or the words of my guest host, good luck. So if you have any of those type of things and you want to share those, please put them in our chat and let us know. Or you can always feel free to comment. We love reading your feedback, and it is very important to us what you think. And of course, you know, when you get a chance to, you know, you like the show, share it with other people, because you can always get it on one of our platforms, because, you know, we on everything. So, Leonard, let's move on.
Yep. Before we move on, when I was taking a look at the article in Genevieve, this is something that I thought was interesting. So when I was scrolling at the bottom of the article for Grant Williams, who, you know, was in jail 20 some years, he said, let me backtrack. So when I was thinking, I was like, you know what? I wonder, like, well, if we had some sponsors for our show, which we probably soon will have, it would be nice.
Right here.
Yeah. Right. You know, it would be nice to send him something. And I was like, and to myself, I was thinking, you know,
what type of affirmation t-shirt would be good?
Yeah. When I was scrolling through the article, he said, one of his quotes in the article said that when he was in jail, he would always tell people, "I am innocent." And I was like, dang, you know, like that probably be a great shirt for him. So, Dave said he's going to sponsor this shirt, and we're going to see if we can get his information, because
and that's all you got to put on the shirt. I am innocent.
Yeah, kind of like Genevieve was saying. You know, I would imagine in jail, you have to have a lot of positive self-talk, because it's probably, you know, a lot of negative influence, and just the fact that, you know, that's one thing he would always say to people probably helped him keep some sanity in there, I would think. What do you think, Genevieve?
Yeah, and I think too he's going to have to learn forgiveness, right?
Right.
Because it was a wrong against him, and like we were just talking about, there's no amount of money that can take away that injustice and the wrongness that was done to him and his family. But I was just thinking about another affirmation that is important is forgive often, forget always. We have to forgive and then forget it. Just let it go. Just dismiss it so that the brain does not remember the pain. And I think that that's what he's going to be dealing with as he comes home, reunites with some of those family members and friends and so-called friends and people who are just looking for money or whatever it is. But he's going to have to really work on himself, learning to forgive, learning to kind of deal with all of the social changes that are going around him. But I think it would be a great t-shirt for him to have, I am innocent, because that's probably what kept him going. Every single day, just reaffirming that I am innocent. I'm just in this situation because someone made a mistake, but I am innocent. And I think that that probably got him through the day, whatever it took. And that's what we have to do, the same thing. It's an excellent example of affirming.
Right.
Okay. All right. Great.
All right, Dave, I'm going to let you take us into this next story since you're very familiar with it.
Well, no, I want you to go ahead and start it. I'll go into it afterwards.
All right, so our next story is about an incident that happened over the weekend between White Sox baseball player Tim Anderson and New York Yankees player Josh Donaldson. Just for reference, Tim Anderson is he's Black, right?
Yes.
Okay. He is Black. He had a little bit of an accent, so I didn't know. He is Black. The New York Yankees player, Josh Donaldson, is white. And it comes along them crossing paths on the baseball field where Josh Donaldson, the New York Yankee white player, called Tim Anderson. He used the word Jackie. And the word Jackie was kind of referring to Jackie Robinson. And, you know, Tim Anderson took that as a racist comment and, you know, kind of incited a bench clearing spat during the fifth inning of Saturday's game. And, you know, so I remember specifically seeing his interview, and he said when he called him Jackie, he did not appreciate that. He said, you know, he doesn't play like that. And then he said he don't play at all, which I thought was funny because he was very serious. But, you know, a lot of people kind of had some mixed reactions, I guess, because and this is what I heard. I didn't read this, but he had called himself, you know, kind of like the new age Jackie Robinson. So some people were like, okay, well, you know, that's what he called himself. So was it offensive if Josh Donaldson called him Jackie? But long story short, they did have, you know, kind of like a war of words over it, a slight spat. Dave, I'll let you finish it up since I know you probably studied it more in depthly.
Okay. So yeah, Leonard, everything that Leonard said is correct. But what's happened, these two had a little bit of history, too, because this wasn't the first time they had a brush with each other. And, you know, and this guy, Anderson, of course, he's relatively new to the big leagues and, you know, to Major League Baseball. And he's trying to make a name for himself. And he is a hustler. He's a pretty exciting player. He gets out there and goes hard. And it's funny because when you look at the guy, he does kind of remind you of a Jackie Robinson type. That's what's so funny about the whole thing is because he's a hustler. He runs the bases. He, you know, he's really going hard, but of course he's trying to make it, you know, he's not trying to fake it. He's trying to make it, you know, and this guy Donaldson felt that he was showing them up, you know, by, you know, the way he ran the bases, the way he was doing everything. And, you know, and of course he had made the comment about being a modern day Jackie Robinson, but he was just trying to say that he wanted to play. He said, I heard later on that he was just trying to play the game like Jackie, you know, being, gotcha. Being a complete baseball player and hustling and not taking the game for granted and so forth. Right. Well, this guy took it to a whole nother level and basically, you know, saying he was disrespecting Jackie Robinson by trying to say he is like Jackie Robinson. He's that good and all this kind of stuff. And of course, the only reason he mentioned the only, and of course, it made it easy for the white Donaldson to say what he said is because he is black and he's comparing himself to one of the most prolific baseball players and well-respected baseball players of all time. You know, people don't get Jackie Robinson is the only guy that during the course of a baseball season, every team in Major League Baseball wears the same number, which is his number 42. And without their name on the back of their jersey, to pay respects to Jackie Robinson. They don't do that for any other baseball player.
Right.
Because of what Jackie Robinson meant to baseball, you know, and because he was a pivotal character, a groundbreaking character. And here it is again. We're talking about black and white again.
Yeah. Well, I think, in my opinion, he tossed it out. He tossed that out. In a wrong way, right? And yes, like you were talking about, when we think about Jackie Robinson, I mean, so many have paved the way for us, right? Yeah. So it was, to me, I would take it also as disrespect. Maybe this Josh person didn't want it to come over that way.
And he said that. He didn't mean for it to come through the way it did.
Right.
He could, and to be honest with you, he could have, that could have happened. You know, he didn't mean for it to come out that way, but you can't, there's certain people, you can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't say, if you're not black, you can't say certain people's names.
Or if he didn't have that relationship with them.
Right. Yes.
And plus he's his own player in his own right. I mean,
All right, did we lose Leonard?
I'm here. Hey, okay. Genevieve, are you on mute?
He wants to be. Okay. Saying that, it, you know, that to me, I just think that, you know, don't call people.
Uh-oh. I think we're having some technical difficulties here on our guest side. Genevieve. Okay,
freezing up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I agree. I can take it either way.
Let's just try to get along.
Okay. What she said, everybody. Did y'all hear that?
Let's just try.
Yeah.
Is it Rodney King next to them?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I can kind of take it either way. You know, it's kind of like if I call myself the Black Superman and then I go somewhere and someone's like the Black Superman. I don't know.
Say the Black Superman? Why not just say Superman?
Right.
Because Superman ain't black.
You know, according to what we've seen, that particular guy is not black. But we're Superman all the time.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I agree. You know, I think it has to do more with relationships. So it's kind of like, Dave, if we go somewhere and you were like, and you said someone like, you're the good guy and I'm the bad guy, not laugh at all. If it's someone I don't know and they're like, hey, I'm the good guy, that's a bad guy, I'm going to feel a certain way.
Right.
You know, so with the Jackie thing, it could have been a compliment. I mean, it could have been like, okay, you say you're Jackie Robinson, I'm going to call you Jackie Robinson. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think it's tricky. From the interview, and I mean, I don't really know much about Tim Anderson, but from the interview, it looked like he did not play a lot of games. It looked like he's a pretty serious person.
No, he's serious.
And
he, if you saw the dust up, the fight and everything, he was not, you know, they had to hold him back like quite a few times during this thing because he was so upset. He really was. That, you know, his teammates had, but his teammates also had his back too. They said, we know how hard this guy works. We know how hard this guy plays. And he's not out there trying to disrespect Jackie Robinson in any kind of way. If anything, he's trying to be like him.
Right.
You know, so, you know, and that's the thing. And that's where I think we all get caught up in making assumptions and, you know, and making bad decisions. And then, of course, having these type of conversations, because once again, it comes down to black and white again.
Right.
You know, and that's where we are in the world.
And I was going to say, you know, kind of going back to the ice cream where, you know, it's like, we got to bring everything back to Juneteenth. There's certain things you can say to other races, but, you know, just because of the culture we had to endure here in America, there's certain things like you just can't say to black people, even if they tell you, you know, he is Jackie Robinson, even if, you know, everyone, you know, if you see black people doing it, you can't just go to a black person and do certain stuff.
No, you can't. Have either one of you ever seen the movie that, oh, here we go. He did.
Well, hold on. Say the movie first before you do any explanation.
Has anybody ever seen the movie 42?
Yeah.
I saw parts
Chadwick Boseman. You saw it? Yeah.
I saw parts of it.
Okay. You saw parts of it. Okay. Great movie, first of all. Chadwick Boseman embodied that part as playing Jackie Robinson. Kind of, and he favored him a lot, too. If you ever saw old pictures of Jackie Robinson, Chadwick kind of looked like him in that picture. The stuff, you know, of course, you know, some of it's Hollywood. You know, Hollywood always sensationalized these moments. But when you looked at that movie and you look at the stuff that he had to endure and how he had to be better than everybody else as far as mentally, you know, and you know, but there was moments that he was broken. You know, his spirit was broken. He almost gave up. You know, there was moments he was ready to punch people out. You know what I mean?
Because are we talking about Chadwick?
Yeah. Well, Jackie Robinson.
Okay. Jackie Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson. There was moments that he was ready to punch people out because he couldn't take it anymore because of all that was said. You know, he had things thrown at him. You know, he was called names all the time. So forth. You know, the team that treated him the worst was the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes. Shame. And they did bring that out in the movie. Yeah, they brought that out in the movie.
They treated him horribly. Believe me, they really did.
In Philadelphia fans' defense, they treat everybody pretty horribly.
Everybody that way. Yes.
Yeah. But this wasn't even just the fans. That was the baseball players too. It was crazy what they did in Philadelphia to him. And yet, they have his number retired up there in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know. But that's where we are. He was such a great pivotal figure and polarizing type figure that he was able to make people change their minds and they realize how great he was. Was he the best player? That's what another thing about Jackie Robinson. At that particular time, he was called up from the Negro Leagues. He wasn't even the best player in the Negro Leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the player they brought up because he was the one that they thought could handle the pressure the best to be able to do what you do.
You remember on one of our Black History ones, we talked about the other player. I can't remember what his name was.
Well, Josh Gibson.
Is that who it is?
Josh Gibson.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And he was supposedly the Babe Ruth of the Negro Leagues. He was like their version of Babe Ruth. And this guy was a beast. He was playing at that time. There was a guy named Satchel Paige that a lot of people heard of. Satchel Paige thought he was going to be the one that was called up. But Satchel Paige couldn't handle what Jackie Robinson handled, you know. And that's the reason he was the chosen one, you know. So, you know, when we look at these situations and you know, we, of course, the show's theme has been affirmation today, you know. Jackie was picked because he can handle it. And he knew, it wasn't even him. Branch Rickey, the guy who was his manager, brought him up and said, I chose you because I know you can do this. Nobody else can do this. Only you. So when you look at that and you look at the world overall, you look at who we are and you see a person like Jackie Robinson, how he's still affecting people today after he's been dead all these years, that just tells you what kind of mark that he made. So,
right.
Yeah. So hopefully we need Tim Anderson to become a superstar, you know, and then he can shut other people up. And then he, you know, so.
Right.
But so what we're going to do here is, we're going to give you a chance. Oh, for people wonder who I'm talking about, I always call her G. we're going to give her a chance to go ahead and say a few words to wrap up the show and to go ahead and let people know about your website again, where we can get on board hop on the planes to go places and whatever. By the way, you know, she's a newlywed too, so you know, so she's still honeymooning these
Welcome
days.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, Dave, I got a new show for you about, you know, I moved to Jamaica, right? So basically just telling people when they retire, they want to retire in a country where our money is like six times more than it is here.
Don't tell Leonard. look, you'll be seeing Leonard over there all the time. Leonard owns trailer. He mobile home trailer parks, you know, in Alabama. Don't think he won't own one over there in Jamaica.
It'll be the first of its kind there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, there you go. But yeah. Go ahead and tell, when you started telling us about Jamaica, tell us a little bit about your life in Jamaica.
Yeah, so I finally got residency there. So I am a resident of Jamaica. I have to apply for citizenship. Hopefully I can get dual citizenship and won't have to give up my American citizenship. But I married a Jamaican national. His name is Garrett Reed. He is a artist. He is a mosaic artist. So he makes art out of glass.
Oh, wow.
And out of stone and also out of wood. So all natural materials. And he does all types of restorative places in Jamaica, like places that have fallen down that they restored, like lighthouses and museums and all types of things. He makes out of wood, stone, and glass, and he sells it right. He sells it right on the beach to the tourists. All right. So, and he's famous because his name is Garrett Reed, but only people know him as Rise and Shine.
Rise and Shine.
Rise and Shine. So every time he meets someone, he says, Rise and Shine. And he's just one of those people that's always on 10. He's always on 10. So
I know he got a t-shirt that says Rise and Shine.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he has other sayings that he says all the time because he's Rastafarian. And so he's one of those old Rastas that loves Bob Marley and loves being a Jamaican and loves Jamaica. And Jamaica is a great, wonderful place. The people are beautiful. The island is beautiful, except they suffer from terrible poverty and terrible inflation, much like we are right now. And they don't have enough hospitals and they don't have a lot of housing. 74% of the people in Jamaica live in what's called captured land. So they have houses, but it's not their own property. The land was captured. They live on it. And I would like to see where all Jamaicans own their own property. And no one will be able to come in and take that from them. So that's something that's very important to me, because I think that every person should own a piece of land. Every person. So Jamaica's a great place. It really is. But like any other place, it has its problems.
Did you tell your husband that Bob Marley lived in Wilmington, Delaware?
Yes, and he knows that, because he knows everything. He knows everything Bob Marley.
Gotcha.
Definitely. Yes, yes. So where you can find the affirmation t-shirts, again, the website is www.t-shirts.teach. So the whole motto is that t-shirts, they not only teach, you can learn and you can inspire others, because when you wear that apparel, you get to spark a conversation, right? And that conversation is where you can teach and inspire a person just within 2 to 3 seconds. You can do that. And I'm on Instagram at t-shirts that teach. There's some great advertisements out there. And I'm working right now on affirmation cards. Those are cards that you can actually carry around with you. I'm also working on what's called travel affirmations. So travel affirmations are just that, talking about seeing the world. And I always say that when you travel, it's like opening a book. And when you open a book, there are hundreds and thousands of pages, right? But if you just stay where you are, if you just stay right in Wilmington, you only have opened one page. But when you travel the world, you open thousands and thousands of pages. So I'm working on some weekender travel bags that say different affirmations about travel. And that's something that more African-American people need to get into, including Dave, flying all over the world. Flying all over the world. I told Dave the other day, I'm going to be going to the Philippines in July.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be a great trip. So that's what I'm saying is, if you haven't taken time, now that some of the COVID restrictions have lifted in travel, go ahead and try to travel. If it's just for 4 or 5 days, there's lots of ways that you can get cheap tickets, and that you can put tickets on layaway. There's a company called Air Affordable that allows you to put tickets on layaway, because some people think, oh, I can't afford to go to those places because it's thousands of dollars. Well, guess what? You can pay a little bit, little bit, little bit, and you can get there. And the same thing, Airbnb is doing the same thing. They're allowing you to lay away your hotel stay and your Airbnb stay. So there's lots of ways to travel, to see things, to grow. And that's really what affirming every day is to smash out all of the negative talk, to smash out all of the things that people tell you you cannot do, and to go ahead and just open that oyster up and live the best life that you possibly can. One that is happy, and one where you are centered and focused on things that you can change in real time. So that's really why wearing affirmations kind of just helps you to keep those positive thoughts rolling and going, so that you can mend the mind, you can mend the heart, and you can mend all of those, the pain and the suffering that has come from so many terrible struggles and experiences that we have in this life. But I know I talk to Dave about this all the time, that in our next life, whatever that may be, whether you believe in God, whether you believe you're going to heaven, or wherever you believe you're going, in that next life, we'll be free of pain and sorrow and suffering, and there will be no more tears in anyone's eyes, that death will be no more, and neither will sorrow be anymore. All the former things will have passed away. So that's what we want to look forward to. That's the affirmation that we need every day, is that if we make it to the end, if we make it, that we will be truly happy. That is where true happiness lays. And I can remember where there was a day that I was not happy at all. All I did was wake up and cry, and then go to bed and just cry. But now I just want to get up and live and just live. And that's what it's all about. And so whatever way that we do that, we want to help others, but we also want to love ourselves.
I definitely agree. Two things I was thinking about as you're talking, Genevieve. One is, and this may be an idea for you. There was a, and they may still be around, they may not. There was a company that had this app, like a mobile app, and every morning it would send you an affirmation. So kind of you're talking, I was thinking about that. And then two, I don't know if podcasting is real big in Jamaica or not, but it would be awesome for Dave and I to come to like Jamaica for a week, do like a little podcast tour and like interview a lot of the people there. You know, like I was just thinking like, you know, so Genevieve, you can find us a nice spot on the beach, you know.
Yes, you can stay at my house. Yeah, you can stay at my house.
Come there, like, you know, do some interviews. If you're able to get Usain Bolt, you know, so we need him on our show.
or all the female sprinters
aren't they great? They're terrific.
Shelly Pierce. What's that? Something Ann Frazier. I can't remember.
Shelly Ann Frazier.
Oh, Shelly Ann Frazier. Is there a Pierce?
Gosh, thing? I wish I had those connections.
Yeah, they ain't no joke, man.
God, no.
Yeah. So, but thank you for the invite. And that, you know, you and I already talked. That's something that I want to do and I plan on doing because, like I told you, I have been to Jamaica a few times. So, I would love to go back again. So maybe we'll make a guy tripping and head out that way. So but we want to take the time to say thank you for you coming on. I know this is going to get a big response, especially from our women listeners, which we have quite a few women listeners.
Thank you so much for having me.
I already knew when I asked you to come on because I knew this would be a great show. So I just need to make sure that everyone, please go to her website and take a look at it. And if you can purchase something on that website, believe me, or just take a look at it just to uplift yourself, you know, so you can see
exactly
what's going on and feel better about yourself because you see what you see on that site. So again, thank you, Genevieve, for coming on our show. And we appreciate you. Hey, Leonard.
Yes.
I guess we're all clear, right?
We all good. Okay.
Oh, I got one announcement. Let me make an announcement. I am
free food, everybody. Free food.
This Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, the 28th, I'm going to be heading up a fish fry for my church, Greater Hope Christian Fellowship, out in people call it Newcastle, but it's still Wilmington, on the outskirts of Wilmington there. We're going to be doing a fish fry. You go to my Facebook page. It's on Facebook. You'll see it on my page. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out in the chat. Most of you know how to get a hold of me. But we're going to, we're selling fish dinners for $13. You pick of two sides, a drink, and also you get a piece of cake as dessert. So please, you know, if you're interested, we always do a big number with this fish fry. Everybody seems to enjoy it. So I just wanted to put a shameless plug out from 12 to 5 on Saturday, 700 E Cornell Drive, suite number 3 in Wilmington, 19801. So just want to put that out there. Just feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions. Check my Facebook page. You can inbox me, so forth and so forth. So come, and I'll be there during that time. So even if you just want to stop by, holler at me. Leonard tries to come out. Leonard always supports, but Leonard, you know, he's always trying to get free food all the time. So I want people that pay, y'all. I want people that pay. Okay.
Well, I end up paying every time. I try, but I end up paying.
Yeah. Well, what I tell you earlier, will a man rob God?
Well, we already know the answer to that. just to co-sign, I will say every time I go, the food is very good. So I am looking forward to getting my meal out there on Saturday.
I appreciate that. So with that being said, we want to thank everyone again for listening. And don't forget Friday, 6 o'clock, our weekend roundup. And people still hit me up about last week, weekend roundup, about the things Black people say. A lot of people like, you hit it right on the nose with that one, y'all. Y'all hit it all right on the nose. So this tune in this Friday to see what we'll be talking about on Friday. All right. 6 o'clock. So thank you once again for joining us and have a wonderful night.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of News and Trends with your host, Dave and Lynn.